Ian Narev, thanks for your time. The bank has made more than $4.9 billion in the past 6 months. The shareholders have got a higher dividend, but you've increased interest rates to some of your investment lenders today. I thought it was going to be a case where the customers, the shareholders and the staff would all share in the profits of the bank.
Thanks for having me, Ross. And yes, first of all, you can see from this number, $4.9 billion, a wide variety of stakeholders benefited, from high levels of customer satisfaction to the fact that we're the number one taxpayer in the country. We did increase rates for investor loans, for interest-only investor loans.
So those investors will actually be paying a penalty. They won't be getting the benefit of the result today.
Yeah, the rate is independent of the result simply because it responds to a regulatory requirement, which is to keep our lending growth in investor loans below 10% a year.
So are you saying you were close to that limit?
We weren't over the limit, and we've made quite clear we weren't over the limit, but we take the limit very seriously, and there has been growth in that area, so we've just had to take a couple of steps to make sure that we remain within that regulatory limit, because remaining within the regulatory requirement, as you'll understand, is very important to us.
So you have taken other steps. You've also said that you won't take on refinancing of investment loans from customers who are with other banks. Why have you done that?
We won't do that through the broker channel, and the main reason, Ross, is that as required by the regulator, we keep some moderation on that lending growth. The number one priority is to make sure we're there for existing customers. So what we did is we said, if we've got to be a little bit careful about the growth, the first thing we'll do is make sure that we've got the capacity to support our existing customers, and that means we won't do as much refinancing of other banks' customers, because I don't want to be in a position where good, loyal customers are coming in and we're saying, sorry, we're unable to meet your need.
So, okay, so I'm not a customer of the Commonwealth Bank. I've got some investment loans and things like that. You're saying you don't want my business.
We are saying that it's really important for us and for the whole system to make sure that we are remaining prudent in this environment.
I know, but and you're still saying you don't want my business.
Well, one of the reasons that we are not going to do as much of the new lending as we've done is because the regulatory requirement is there for good and understandable reasons to keep a cap on growth, and we respect the reasons for that, and we'll make sure we comply with it.
You recognise that if other banks also did the same thing, then the negotiability for customers to really shop the banks around and therefore get a better rate, that there's pressure off this fall in interest rates that we've seen over the past 12 months in particular, where there's been white-hot competition for new business?
Well, bear in mind, Ross, number one, this doesn't affect any owner-occupier, and number two, that this is a 10% growth year-on-year in investor loans at a time where the economy is growing under 3%. So it's still a pretty... There's room for growth in that, and we've just all got to be pretty careful.
Okay, so I look at your mortgage book, $430 billion in mortgages across the country. That's up $26 billion over the past year. You've actually had pretty good growth in the overall mortgage book, haven't you?
Yeah, we've done 140,000 new home loans in the last 6 months, and 15,000 of those are to people buying their first home. So this is one of the main reasons we exist. We want to be able to extend the right credit when customers need it, and we'll continue to do that and have done that.
But what this also shows is that the average interest rate on those loans today is 4.4%. A year ago, it was 4.74%. So in other words, there's been, you know, sort of, if you like, a big fall in the interest rates across your whole portfolio. This is part of the reason why you're starting to close up new applications, because you want to try and get a higher yield out of that total book. Would I be right there?
No, the restrictions we've put on some aspects of new lending, investor lending, are solely in relation to the regulatory requirements. So the reality is that in a lower interest rate environment, margin come down. That's a fact of life. We have to accept that, but the changes that we have put in place are really about the investor home loan book and making sure we're growing at a prudent rate and a rate which accords with the regulations from our regulators.
The other point also is that your standard variable home loan is now sitting up in the high fives. You give a discount off the back of that depending on who the customer is, where they live, what their security is, all that sort of stuff. So it means really now that it's a case where you set the interest rates according to the customer and their circumstances, not necessarily as though you're giving every customer exactly the same interest rate.
Well, our interest rates are benchmarked for those customers with a standard variable rate to the standard variable rate. Now, as you will know, we also offer customers a fixed rate. You can do borrowing in some cases under 4% with a fixed rate. So for customers that want the certainty, and this is critical, we provide the ability to have the certainty through the fixed rate loans. Otherwise, what we say is that there's a benchmark, the standard variable rate.
Okay, so therefore, is it now becoming a situation where the Reserve Bank just should not announce a monthly interest rate decision, because it's become irrelevant, because you're setting the interest rates according to your customers and their individual circumstances, it's not at all based on where the Reserve Bank is.
The Reserve Bank remains the critical rate setter in the economy, but as we've said before, including in front of Parliament, that is one important factor that influences our rates, but not the only important factor. So clearly, it is still by some distance the most important benchmark, but there are other factors that are not linked to it. For example, the cost of all the funding that we bring in from overseas to make sure that we can fund Australia's growth.
See, I could put it to you now that you are the biggest lender in Australia, that you are more critical to the pricing of loans, that everybody will follow the Commonwealth Bank in its lead as compared with following the Reserve Bank.
I think what you've seen over a period of time, Ross, is that this is a very competitive banking system, and it's not a matter of everyone following us our lead or our following other people's lead. There are any number of lending providers. There's a vibrant mortgage broker market. People can get good deals, and it's a competitive market where, as you would hope, individual banks are setting individual prices and doing their best to attract customers.
Tell me, as the chief executive of the Commonwealth Bank, what's it like to sit in front of the parliamentary committee answering their questions about the intricacies of the bank? Do you find that a comfortable situation?
We are, the banking system is very important to Australia's economic prosperity, and we're a major bank. So I absolutely respect the importance of fronting up and talking openly about the bank, and we're happy to do it and to be very transparent to answer our MPs' questions, because they are representing the legitimate interests of their voters and they want to hear from us.
As chief executive, would you prefer not to do it?
Look, in any time we'd prefer to be spending our time thinking about investments and technology and other things. I mean, they could be what's considered to be the most exciting part of the job, but equally important parts of the job are representing the bank, talking about what we do, talking about why we do it in all sorts of different forums. And I consider that a very important part of my job. I take it seriously. I respect the forums, and I'm always happy to turn up and go and speak about it.
And do you think the banks and the banking industry has won the argument that there should be no Royal Commission? Do you think you've avoided that for the time being?
I think there's a broad range of views on how to make sure that there's high trust in the Australian banking system. Now, we acknowledge that we have got work to continue to do to make the banking system as good as it possibly can be. And we're saying, and we said it in our results again today, we're doing a lot of that work. The Bankers Association have shown all the banks are doing a lot of that work. We think that as a result of that work, trust in the banking system is being strengthened. Others have different views, and we'll just have to see how all that policy plays out.
And just tell me, with the interest rate setting and the way in which you've set the mortgage book in particular, what does that say about your concerns about residential property values, especially across the eastern seaboard where there's been many apartments built over the past 18 months or so?
Well, residential property values, particularly in inner city parts of Sydney and Melbourne, have gone up, and they've gone up because demand's high. If you look at the underlying supply and demand, it's easy to understand property prices, and we're comfortable with them. But whenever you see in some periods they're going up more quickly, as bankers, we've got to be very circumspect about that. So we're comfortable with the lending we're doing. We're comfortable about the property market, but we are never complacent.
Comfortable about the property market. Fitch, Standard & Poor's, Moody's have all expressed some concern about it. You don't share their concerns?
We've all got to be careful in all economic environments, but those concerns have been expressed for year after year after year. And it tells us two things. Number one is we've got to make sure we're very rigorous and very prudent. And number two is we've got to make sure we take a long-term view and don't respond too much to every newspaper article or particular report.
Ian Narev, as always, we appreciate your time.
Thanks very much, Ross.